Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. Good to see everyone here this morning. We're so appreciative for your presence. We hope that the time that we spend together will be edifying and encouraging to each of you. But we also trust that we honor and glorify our God, that we remember His Son as we have worshiped together today. We have been talking about, for the last few Sunday mornings, taken from the Sermon on the Mount, we've been looking at the Beatitudes, and this morning we will continue that study together. Now, the straight and narrow way is that way to heaven that Jesus is saying that it will not be easy. We must conform our hearts and our minds to His way and His will, that we might enter in at that straight, difficult way. In this great sermon, as we have talked about the idea of happiness, and we've asked simply the question, are you happy? And that's a very personal question that each of us must consider for our own selves. What our lives are about, what we are involved in, how we spend our time. Are we really happy? Well, I think that most of us want to be happy, and we want to feel that as we live our lives that we are accomplishing what God wants us to do. But as we continue to study these great Beatitudes, the first part of the Sermon on the Mount, we have talked about the greatest preacher and teacher of all time, delivered the greatest sermon ever proclaimed in these three chapters of Matthew. Let's look today concerning the peacemakers. And if you'll notice in chapter 5 and verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Now, I think it's quite interesting for us to consider this morning this idea that to enjoy happiness, you need to be a peacemaker. Well, considering the idea of being at peace with others may be somewhat difficult because we are quite familiar with individuals who are interested always trying to stir up trouble. The proverb says a whisper separates the best of friends. Now, if you've ever participated in whispering, if you've ever participated in gossiping, if you've ever participated in spreading rumors and tales, yea, lies, then you certainly have lived long enough, obviously, to have seen the fruit of that kind of talk. And it's not good. And some just enjoy doing that. Whether it's in family, whether it's at work, whether it's in school, and whether it's in church. Some actually just pursue hostility. There are some people that just enjoy a row. They enjoy a fuss. They enjoy just getting people upset and disturbed. Through the years and teaching the gospel, there have been times when there have been those present in Bible classes that they ask questions just simply because they want to get people stirred up. They want to cause a difficulty. They have some kind of pet peeve, or they have some kind of, you know, quote, sacred cow kind of idea that they just love to make mention of from time to time, and knowing that it's going to cause brethren to be, you know, a little bit upset or to be discouraged, they're going to talk about that. No child of God does that. You don't raise questions in Bible class just to cause problems. You don't try to talk about other people to cause an issue. We certainly would not, in any shape, form, or fashion, talk in such a way that we know that's going to be divisive, to cause strife. Well, when we stop to consider that, happiness is making peace with others. That's true. That's what this text is talking about. Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. Happy are the people that do what they can to bring about peace, not trying to cause a problem. Well, I think it's important that we say that peace is not at any cost. And when we stop to consider this cost, we must strive for the faith. You must stand for the truth. Jude 3 speaks to that. And we're familiar with that text. But I want to emphasize this morning when we're talking about peacemakers. Because it might be easy for us to interpret this to mean, well, I'll just keep my mouth shut and I won't ever say anything about anything. I'll never, you know, take a stand for anything. I'll just keep my mouth shut because if you take a stand, it's going to cause a problem. Jude 3 says, beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about the common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Now that word contend means to strive or to fight or to wrestle. And that particular term would suggest to us, by implication, that the faith, the Word of God, is worth fighting for. So what Jesus is talking about being peacemakers, He's not suggesting to us that we don't contend for the faith. When you look at Matthew 5 and verse 9 versus Jude 3, those are not contradictory statements. It's important for us to understand that we not compromise peace with God to have peace with men. When the apostles stood before the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin says, we want you to stop preaching about Jesus. Now, they were threatened. The apostles were threatened by the Sanhedrin. So the apostles had a choice to make. They can make peace by compromising, by not preaching about Jesus, and they wouldn't have gotten into trouble. But see, that was compromising their faith in God. So they could not make peace with these men by compromising God's Word. So you must understand that there are going to be times when the choice is going to be very obvious as to what we do. You're going to have to choose between serving God and doing what God says versus having peace with men. In those circumstances, you always obey God. In fact, the apostles, they respond and said, we must obey God rather than men. So as a result, all those that desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted because you take a stand for what is right. You don't compromise faith. Now, having said that, and please keep that in your mind because that is very, very important. What we're going to talk about is having peace with others. Having peace with God, we need to learn to get along with other people. And that's difficult sometimes. There have always been race issues. And it's not always been black and white. Prejudicial attitudes is not just about skin color. It's educational. It's education. It's social standing. It's money, position. It might be sports. You see, having peace with God God demands that we do the best we can to have peace with others. But sometimes that's tough. Sometimes it's difficult to get along with people. Some people are just hard-headed. Some people are just stubborn. Some people are just bound and determined that they're going to cause a problem. Among preacher buddies. And I don't know for our brother Osafa if this is true down in Grenada or not, but when us preacher buddies get together, we have our shop talk. And many times the observation is made that regardless of a number of men, wherever they've been in the world, it seems like the devil always has his one servant that is a member of that local church. He is the one that is the knothead that is always trying to cause a problem. Seems like every church has that. One person. Sometimes a church is greatly blessed to have five or six of them. And you know, most usually, who has to contend with that person? Thank God for elders. Michael and Phil and Ronnie and Scotty. They get to deal with... Oh, was I talking about Anderson? Do we have any knotheads here? Do we have any that love to just make a problem or an issue? I'll leave that for your thought. Some of you are probably old enough to remember at least the concept or the sayings of the late Will Rogers. He made the statement, he never met a man he didn't like. I have. I'm sorry. I have. Haven't you? I mean, there are some people that just, I mean, from the hello, it's just like, whoa. Just. So when that happens, what do you do now? Some people are not good first impressionists. Some people are just tough. Well, we must learn to be a peacemaker. Let's look at a couple of passages. Romans chapter 12 and verse 18. This, I believe, will help us to understand a little bit better what we're talking about here. Romans chapter 12, verse 18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Now, this is not a topic we have not discussed before. We've discussed this a number of times before. And it's a kind of topic that I've learned through the years is we have to talk about it quite a bit. Because there have been great friends that have become enemies. There have been some enemies that have become great friends. Either of what we're talking about requires some work. And when we become enemies, we have ceased doing what God wants us to be or do. We should strive to be at peace. So far as it depends on you, have you gone the extra mile? Have you tried your best? There are some people you just can't talk to. There are some people that don't want you to talk to them. There are people that could care less what you want to talk about. There are people that are just so set and determined in their mind about what they believe or what they think or what they're doing, they're not going to sit down and talk with the elders. They refuse that. If you refuse to sit down and talk with the elders, that is rebellion. That is sinful and a withdrawal offense. Plain and simple. If the elders ask to talk to you and you refuse to talk to them, that's sinful. But there are people like that. They just don't want to bury the hatchet. They don't want to correct the mistake. They don't want to deal with the issue. There are some people that are naive. They believe the more you stir it, the worse it gets. So don't talk about it. Don't say anything. And that's not biblical. Biblical, scripturally, if there is a brother that you have aught against, or there is sin between you and a brother, you must come together and work that out. You must do that. There is no other choice about that. Jesus taught that in Matthew 18. And if you can't resolve that, you've got to take one or two more with you. And if that doesn't resolve it, you take it before the church. That is probably one of the most or least practiced command of God in the church today. Because we don't want confrontation. We compromise when we know there's something wrong. We know there's something amiss. We know that there's an elephant standing in the middle of the room. And we all see it, but we ignore it. That is not a peacemaker. That is a child of God and His kingdom. It's just not. Chapter 14 and verse 19. So let us pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Pursuing the things which make for peace. Do we even begin to know what those are? Well, let's talk a little about that. How do you become a peacemaker? Okay? One is, sometimes it means giving up what you want. Now, I'm going to stop here. Make sure we do not leave today with the wrong impression of what a peacemaker is. One more time. Peace with God is first and primary your goal in life. Obeying God's word is number one. There are people that don't like that and won't do the same. We cannot compromise our faith with God to make peace with others. You remember me saying that? Okay, remember that. So what is left? There are things that God doesn't command. There are things that God does not require. There are things that God, let's say, would be indifferent about. There are things that we would put in the area of judgment, opinion. And we all have opinions, we all have judgments, we all have our own ideas of how things ought to be. So, if you're going to get along with other people, surely, as an adult, you have learned you can't always have your way. And if you're the kind of person that always has to have your way, and if you don't have your way, then far as anybody else is concerned, it's the highway, then you certainly don't have a lot of friends. If someone says, you know, I just don't have any friends, check their attitude. It's probably what some would call a stinking attitude. Well, you can change that. How can you change your stinking attitude in regards to getting along with other people? Become a peacemaker. How do you do that? Well, first of all, you're going to have to give up what you want sometimes for what other people want. And there are some people who just can't do that. But if you're going to be a member of the kingdom of God, you're going to have to learn to give it up. You're going to have to learn to give others the benefit of the doubt. We cannot be quick to judge and judge according to the appearance. Well, it looks like, or there might be, and then we run crazy with that. And therefore, someone's character, someone's family, could be completely destroyed because we jumped the gun with a conclusion or with an idea or what we thought we heard or what somebody said to somebody we heard. How about we as Christians give one another the benefit of the doubt? In other words, think the best of folks, not the worst. Maybe we're too quick to hear something and we say, "Oh, did you hear what so-and-so did? Oh, yes, I'd like to hear that because I've been kind of concerned about that person. I knew they were no good. Now here's an example. Now this proves it." You know, if you're that kind of person, then you're not what Jesus wants you to be. Blessed are the peacemakers. Well, they give folks the benefit of the doubt. Finding good in the good for nothing. Do you realize that each of us at some point in time have been good for nothing? Some of us in here have probably been some of the best good for nothings that ever was. But now through Christ you've been forgiven. We all make mistakes, brethren. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. But thanks be to the grace of God who forgives us. A peacemaker is a forgiver. Humility. You know, time and time again in the Scriptures, there is this concept, Paul to the Corinthians and also to the Philippians. He talked about this idea of thinking more of yourself than you ought to think. We can think of ourselves as Christians, but then look down our noses at everyone else because they're so much beneath us. You know, some of the reasons that people that are Christians maybe are not very good at doing, quote, personal work or leading others to Christ is because they see the lack of humility. No one wants to talk to someone that is so arrogant and prideful. Humility is an important aspect. It is one of the key ingredients to making peace. We're not the center of the universe. Some people think they are, and everything revolves around them. Type A personalities, alpha females, alpha males, have that problem. So we have to learn to be humble. We have to learn to pursue things that make for peace. We have to change our attitude. There's always going to be differences of opinion. There's always going to be. Differences in opinions do not determine your eternal destiny. Faith does. Always stand for the faith. But do not cause a problem over an opinion. That's important. There's always going to be controversial issues. There's always going to be that. We cannot be the people of God and afraid to discuss controversial issues. We cannot walk around on eggshells afraid we're going to just crush somebody's sacred cow. Second time I've mentioned that. I've used that term in hundreds of years. But anyway, we have to understand that there are issues of which we are close to, or we have strong opinions about that. But we have got to be able to discuss that. We've got to be able to talk about that. And if you have the attitude, if I have the attitude, I'm just not going to talk about that. I am not going to discuss it. It doesn't cause anything but trouble. You're not pursuing peace. You're promoting division. Simple. Period. You know, if I'm wrong, please help me. I, I know people don't approach a preacher lots of times because they think, oh, he is so smart. He knows everything. He's a man of God. You shouldn't question that. We're just people. We have feelings too. We have been wrong too. There's always going to be controversial things to discuss and talk about. But are we kingdom people that can talk about it lovingly and kindly? There's always going to be a weak brother. The problem is not identifying that there are weak brethren. The problem has always been who he is. Because in a discussion about what we disagree about, who do I think's the weak brother? You. And you feel strongly about your position. Who do you think's the weak brother? Me. There's always a weak brother. The sad case is that we're usually both the weak brother. Never be ashamed of the truth. Third time. Never be ashamed of the truth. We cannot apologize for what the Scriptures say we ought to do as God's people. Don't ever be ashamed of what God says for us to do. How we're to do it. When we are to do it. We cannot be ashamed of that. But, having said that, this being the sword of God, we don't take it and wield it in such a way that we just start chopping people down with it without considering their feelings or their how they've been brought up, what they've been taught. They're ignorant, they're deceived, they're naive, whatever. You don't take the truth and just destroy people with it. We must always treat others with respect. I've mentioned to you time again that my family and I, we were in denominationalism. And I'm thankful to God that some brother felt compassion for us and loved us enough to teach us what's right. How we make peace is not ignoring truth, but wielding truth in such a way that converts, not kills. I know sometimes that's difficult. That's hard. Did you know if you say the truth to someone kindly, they may still kill you? If you say the truth to someone harshly, they may kill you. And there are some people that they just find out you're a Christian and you ain't said a word, they may kill you. So what's a Christian to do? Make sure that everything you say and do is out of love for the soul of the person that you're talking to, even when they're your enemy. That's a peacemaker. Well, I'm not going to talk to them because... Well, I ain't going to that brother. He ought to come to me. I tell you what, I'm going to go around town and I'm going to tell it. And I'm going to tell it because it's the truth. And I don't care who knows it. I tell you what you are. You are not happy and you are not a peacemaker. I don't care who you are, from elder to deacon to preacher to member. The church has no place for someone that is not a peacemaker. That's a fact. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God.
sons of God.
Happiness is making peace with others. So what did you get from this lesson? Was I talking to you? Was I talking to me? You betcha. If you're alive and still kicking, Jesus Christ is talking to each of us. Are you happy? Are you really happy? Happiness is being able to pillow your head at night, knowing that you've done everything that you possibly can to love your brother, to love your fellow man, and to do all that you can to get him and you to heaven. You don't get anybody to heaven. You don't help anybody get to heaven by being a war maker. We must be peacemakers. Thank you for listening this morning. A few notes on the board. There might be someone here who is not a Christian. You've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Did you know that your sins and your iniquities have separated you from your God? Isaiah said. What does that mean? When we sin against God, when we violate His Word, then there becomes enmity. There becomes an animosity. There becomes a divide between us and God. Regardless who you sin against, regardless of what sin you've committed, each and every sin is against God. So when you've committed some sin and you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, guess who your enemy is? You see, when you humble yourself to obey the gospel, to do the very things that we see on this list, it is the blood of Jesus Christ that takes away the sins that causes the divide or the enmity between you and your God. You know what Jesus was when He came to this earth? He is the Prince of Peace. He is the ultimate peacemaker. He provides the opportunity for you today to have peace with God. Are you at peace with your God? You cannot be at peace with your God and have enmity with your brother. 1 John teaches us that you say you love God. How can you love God whom you have not seen, and you not love your brother whom you have seen? You know what that passage demands? That you make peace with your brother in order to have peace with God. If we can help in any way today, won't you come as we stand and sing? Thank you.